This is the sermon from September 28th, 2025. Sermon text is Matthew 6, 24 through 34. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus lays out a pretty clear choice. Serve God or serve money. If you choose the one, you might feel empowered and free, but you'll quickly find that the anxiety never really leaves. If you choose the other, you realize that the Lord of heaven and earth is watching over you, and that everything he knows you need, he'll give to you, and that nothing can stop him. That's the choice that lies before every person called by the gospel. Now, before we look at these choices and their consequences, we need to address another kind of foundational question. What does it mean to serve? It's a bit of a complex issue. Even the Bible will use this term a little differently in places. But at its root, we could perhaps say that if you are serving something or someone, well, then you are being guided, maybe even controlled, by that thing or person. For instance, a servant does what his master tells him to do, not what he wants to do. The distinction between serving God and serving money is then ultimately one of the heart. What's in the heart flows outward into words and actions, and so sometimes it's pretty clear who a person serves, but other times, not so much. You can have rich people who serve God, such as Abraham, right, or Job. Or you can also have poor people who serve money. So rather than try to draw a clear line in the sand, I figured I'll give some questions to help us reflect on and to consider what it means to serve. So first question. When a problem comes up, is the first thing that goes through your head a prayer to God, you know, asking him, oh God, you know, what should we do here? And, you know, dear Lord, please help us through this or along those lines. Or is the question more of, well, how am I going to pay for this? How much is this going to cost me this time? Another question might be this. How do you spend your time? Or what does your effort and energy go into? Is it seeking to draw closer to God? And this doesn't mean that, you know, just reading your Bible all day, every day. But even, you know, carrying out the various tasks that God has given you to do in his word, right? Such as parents caring for their children, right? Or caring for your friends, you know, seeking to help those in need, those God-given things. Or is your time, your energy, your effort spent in pursuing things like an even greater number in your bank account or the things that money can buy that you think will get you happiness, right? Toys, houses, experiences, things of pleasure. Maybe one last question here. When the two come into conflict, which one wins out? Which one is the thing that needs to be taken care of, needs to be addressed first? And which is the one that'll, you know, still be there later after the more important thing's been taken care of? We like to think we can have both, you know, have our cake and eat it too. But Jesus' words are about as clear can be. You cannot serve God and money. Now, when we look at which of the two we should serve, it's pretty obvious that the right answer, the Christian answer, is to serve God. If it's so obvious, though, what is it that makes money, even for Christians, such a tempting thing? I think part of the temptation is found in this lie we convince ourselves of, that we won't actually serve money. With money, we think, we'll still be in control. Right? After all, money's just it's an inanimate object. It's a number on a bank statement. It's an abstract concept about stored work. But whatever it is, it's not a living thing. It's not an entity or a person telling us what to do. With money, then, I can do as I please. I'm still in control. I can do whatever I want when I want. If those last couple sentences struck you as things people with addiction often say, then I think you're realizing what makes money such a dangerous master. Like the initial hit of a drug or other addictive substance, getting money feels good. We get money and we think, what can we do with it? You know, how can we use it to get what we want? We get to be in charge if we have enough money. Money gives us power, right? But the problem is this. Like a drug, that good feeling never lasts, right? The money never goes quite as far as we'd want it to. And the things we're able to do with it or buy with it, they might be good, but they're never quite as good as we'd hoped. And then when the money's gone, spent on whatever, we're left with anxiety, worrying about, well, when will the next check arrive? And will that one be enough? And what'll happen if it isn't? It's this combination of temporary pleasure and subsequent anxiety that turn money from something we have power over into something we end up serving. Again, it feels nice to see that number on the bank statement or to sit behind the wheel of that new SUV or to open the door to that nice hotel suite to walk out of the store with your new purchase. It feels good. But then the feeling fades. And you want that feeling again and more. And so you start to sacrifice other things, right? Time with family, time in church, time caring for others. Right? You sacrifice these things in order to chase that high. And you end up serving the thing you thought you were in control of. And then when the money falls short, and it always will if you're trusting in it, well, then you're left with anxiety, right? And that anxiety begins to control your actions as well. The other side of the coin, right? If you are in control, then you are also responsible. It's up to you to make sure you've got enough food and a roof over your head and enough saved up for retirement and adequate health insurance and a sufficient emergency fund and paying down all your debts and on and on and on and on and on. And it's all on you. In an effort to eliminate or at least reduce that anxiety, you'll start to sacrifice things. The same thing sacrificed to chase after pleasure, because in the end, the god of money demands those sacrifices. But they'll never be enough. And often, by the time you realize what you've sacrificed to chase after something that could never satisfy, the damage is done. Thing is, though, God did not create us for that. He did not create us to be constantly afflicted with anxiety, to be constantly chasing after things that leave us empty. No, God created us to be with Him, to be joined to Him, to share in His life and His love, His peace for eternity. That's why He took on flesh, died on the cross, and rose from the dead to pay the price for our sins and reconcile us to Himself again. We, like sheep, had gone astray, and so our good shepherd came to gather us into His flock again, even laying down His life out of love for us. The great gift that He won for us on the cross, He then gives to us freely through His word and His sacraments. Today, we got to witness this in Bianca's baptism. There in the waters, Jesus blessed her, just as He blessed all those little children brought to Him while He walked this earth. At the font, Bianca was given the circumcision made without hands, as St. Paul describes it. Right? She was joined to His people of all times, all places. Bianca, you can hear the wonderful promise of Jesus in Mark 16, that whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus' promise is there for you. You are His child, and He is your Father, your Savior, your Comforter, your God. These promises are for all who are who believe and are baptized. And the promises aren't just for eternity either. Because God, not money, God is your God, you can trust His promises to care for you in this life, to provide everything you need until the day when He calls you to His beautiful house in heaven. Because He is your God, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. You don't need to be anxious because everything is in God's almighty hands. Those are the hands that provide for the birds of the heavens, those birds that don't worry about what tomorrow will bring, but just do what God has given them to do today. They eat what God puts before them, and they make nests with what He provides for them, and they sing the songs that God has written in their hearts. They work, but they don't worry. If God cares even for the countless birds, how much more will He care for those made in His image? we can go about our lives as Christians, knowing that each moment is established by the Lord. He knows what we need better than we do ourselves, and He will not fail to provide it. He knows all the dangers that are constantly around us, even the ones we are completely unaware of, and He will not fail to protect us from them. And even in times when we come into hardship or even suffering, even then we can know that God is in control of such times. He will use them for our good, and when their purpose has been fulfilled, He will not fail to deliver us from them. As Christians, we can go about our daily work, not worrying that if we fail or fall short, then we're doomed because it was all on us. But rather, we go about our work because God has given it to us to do, just as the birds are given to build nests and sing songs while relying completely on the Lord. We know that money is merely a tool given by God, and He will supply it as He knows is best. As our Lord tells us in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God, for apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? As the birds sing thanksgiving to God, how can we keep from singing? When you serve God, you are freed from slavery to anxiety, slavery to the things of this world. As Jesus says, the Father knows what you need, and He'll provide it. You are freed, then, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because you have His unbreakable promise, given in His word and in holy baptism, that all you need will be added unto you. In the name of Jesus, amen.